Bezrat Hashem, with Hashem's loving grace, this is Emunah Beams with your host, Laser Brody. Today's episode is entitled, Gog and Magog, the Post-War Fallout. We have some great news for you today. Many tzaddikim say that there won't be any more push-button wars because the physical part of the Gog and Magog war is over. Hold on, though. We can't celebrate yet. From the unfortunate experiences of nuclear explosions around the world, like Chernobyl in Ukraine and Fukushima in Japan, we've learned that post-explosion fallout is no less dangerous than the explosion itself. Why is that? Because years after the explosion, high levels of radioactivity remain in the soil, and they distort and cause sickness to plants, animals, and man alike. Well, the Melitzer Rebbe Shlita, he explained to me in the exact words from the Holy Rebbe Arnold Belz, a blessed saint in memory, that the murder of the 6 million Jewish martyrs in the Nazi Holocaust was the pinnacle of Gog and Magog's attack against Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. As a result, a third of the Jewish people were destroyed. But I'm going to give you some more good news. Gog and Magog are dead. The Almighty no longer hides his countenance from us as he did in the Holocaust. And here's proof. Look at the miracles in modern Israel's history. In 1948, Hashem helped a handful of farmers and factory workers and concentration camp survivors defeat the combined standing armies of Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. In 1967, Hashem again delivered Israel from her enemies. Once more in 1973, when everything looked like it was lost, and according to all military logic, Israel should have been destroyed, heaven forbid, the Almighty turned the tables around in Israel's favor. So don't be mistaken. The Syrian and Egyptian commandos are superb soldiers. But at the time, their armies boasted state-of-the-art Russian weaponry, so defeating them was a major miracle. Twice, in 1991, and again 12 years later, 2003, the Almighty fought Israel's battles for by removing Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Saddam's Scud missiles that we all lived through here in Israel could have reached all of Israel's major population centers. 39 landed, exploded in Israel, and not a single person got killed. The Almighty, less than 30 years ago, he dismantled the USSR without firing a shot. Nobody believed, everybody thought it would be a push-button war. Why did he do that? Because Hashem promised long ago that before the coming of Mashiach, he'd bring all the dispersed Jews home to Israel. Enough miracles? How about the miracles that are going right now under our noses? Let's look back. In 1945, when the smoke cleared from World War II, Torah and Judaism were almost dead. The renowned Lithuanian and Hasidic communities of Eastern Europe were wiped out. So anybody that comes to Israel today and sees what's going on in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, Ashdod, Beitar, Kiryat Sefer, Elad, Arad, and Kiryat Gat, they can't believe their eyes. Torah is on a tremendous upswing, and the communities of the faithful, they're alive, they're vibrant, and they're growing from day to day. But we can't yet dance because there's still a big danger of fallout. Gog and Magog, pogroms, and the Holocaust, they've left a terrible aftermath, just like the nuclear explosions. Well, nuclear fallout is radioactivity, which threatens bodies. But the spiritual fallout is Epicurus's heresy, the denial of faith, because that kills souls. Many of our sages, all the way back to the Gemara, hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, warned that Epicurus would be a bigger threat to the Jewish people than any physical calamity. Our sages in the Gemara, they even said, Yesei v'lo achimenu, that Mashiach would come. They don't want to be in this generation because they knew how dangerous that the Epicurus, the heresy of this generation, would be. And a large number of Jews around the world, including in Israel, die spiritual deaths while falling victim to heresy and assimilation every single day. And the damage is much worse than the combined damages of the Intifada, anti-Semitism, and world terror all combined. Well, this brings us to the subject of Mashiach. We are now facing the final test. test of faith before the coming of Mashiach, our Messiah, and the full redemption of our people. The world is like a blanket. The Almighty's given it a tremendous shake. And anybody that doesn't hold on tight by clinging to their faith to Him, they won't stay aboard. Therefore, now is the time for us to strengthen our Emunah, to wash our eyes from the materialism that blinds us, and to see Hashem's miracles, to look at the world through eyes of Emunah. It's right there for everyone to see. And while we're talking about Mashiach and miracles, don't forget the Noahide movement. Nobody ever dreamed of the Noahide movement. Who would have believed the tens of thousands of non-Jews around the world would be categorically accepting the absolute truth of Torah? These are the very bright people who have developed a keen sense of spiritual awareness and want to share in the glory of redemption. One Noahide, a close friend of mine, wrote me an email saying, "Anyone who can't smell Mashiach fast on the way needs an ear, nose, and throat specialist." If we're talking about miracles, really the cherry on the cake of miracles is the Tshuva movement. Tshuva movement, especially in the U.S., in Canada, in Israel, in the U.K. The Tshuva movement in Israel alone has surpassed six figures. Never in the entire 34 centuries of Jewish history since Mount Sinai has there been such a phenomenon of spiritual rebirth. Emunah, the pure and complete faith in Hashem, that's the prime garment of the soul, because the soul is clothed in Emunah. So blemished Emunah is just like wearing a blemished or a torn garment, and that's really embarrassing. Even worse, with no Emunah at all, the soul is rendered naked and exposed to untold ridicule and shame. Well, the palace guard certainly won't let those people with blemished garments see the king, much less someone who's unclad altogether. So now is the time to strengthen our Emunah, because if the world were a baseball game, we're now in the bottom of the ninth inning. Little time remains, but mark my words, beloved brothers and sisters, the faithful are going to be the big winners. So when the smoke clears from the post-war spiritual fallout, those who cling to their Emunah will find themselves in the inauguration of Mashiach and the third and everlasting holy temple in Yerushalayim speedily in our days. Amen. God bless.